broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
I think the laws that we passed, they were good.
It's just awful. I mean, it's disgusting that would happen.
These are kids who are getting less sleep, who are less physically active.
And I just didn't understand, you know, why at this time.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we go through the looking glass and beyond to places where no other talk show in the history of the medium have ever gone, will ever go, can ever, would have, could ever, can't, you know what I mean. 877-876-PHIL is the number. And on our show tonight, of course, we have Bobby Dooley this hour to talk about a new study. Healthy sex makes men live longer. Healthy sex makes men live longer. It sounds like a good thing, but what are the drawbacks? What are the downsides to that? And we'll talk with Ms. Dooley, a wife, a mother, the head of the Homeowners Association there, as well as the Parent Teacher Organization. Our website, philhendryshow.com, right now available to you with live streaming video and audio of our show. If you go over, you can get a backstage pass and watch what's going on. We have two brand new Classic Phil podcasts available. Each and every day, new podcasts of our show available to you, as well as a mini podcast, as well as thousands and thousands of hours of archives that are being made into downloads every day. So not just as the stuff isn't just on our website, but it is downloadable and you can enjoy it. And we our classics this week, as a matter of fact, go back 10 years to 2000 when Art Griego was talking about some bizarre thing having to do with TWA 800. So go over to our website and enjoy it. PhilHendryShow.com. A study in Italy. A healthy sex life makes men live longer, according to Italian scientists, providing that you are a faithful partner. A healthy sex life makes men live longer, providing that you are a faithful partner. Italian medical researchers carried out a series of studies as part of a medical conference, and they found that a healthy sex life means fewer cardiovascular problems for men. Joining us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association is Bobby Dooley, who is not only the president of their Homeowners Association, she's also the chairperson for their upcoming Wintertacular, right, Bobby? Or is it your Falltacular?
No, this is going to be our Wintertacular. This is going to be our Wintertacular, Phil, and it's coming up in December. So we are excited about it, and it's part of what makes our community very unique. And we have a fashion show and a lot of things that benefit charities in the area.
Right. And you are a woman, a married woman with children. Did you see this study here concerning the so-called healthy sex life of men? Obviously that this is not anything that's groundbreaking, right?
Well, you know, so when you called me up and you asked to talk to me about this, the first thing I thought of was, well, I'm not really a doctor. I don't really know how I qualify. And then I realized that my husband and I are very healthy, and I won't get obviously graphic about that.
No.
But we are very much in love and still in love, and we've been married for 15 years. We have three sons. We have a beautiful home. And I've had a very, very tough day, so if you pardon me, I'm just taking a little bit of a bath.
That's all right.
So, yes, if it is a question of can we talk to a woman on our show whose husband is going to live longer, I think Steve is going to live longer. And what does that mean in the overall, though? And I think that's the bigger question.
Well, what do you mean in the overall?
Well, how many men are happily married?
Okay.
How many men, if they are not happily married, are obviously not fulfilled sexually, and if they are not fulfilled sexually, does that mean we are looking at a generation of men, like the past generation, like my father's generation, of men who are going to die prematurely? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that this study is very much an eye-opener.
You know, my father lived to be 72. I don't think it had anything to do with his sex life. But we do know now that 72, it does seem as crazy as this sounds. I mean, there was a time in my life when I was younger, when a guy was 72, he was up there. And if he lived past his 70s and got into his 80s, he was way up there. Now, it seems like living to be in your 80s is not unusual, right?
Well, you know, I agree with you, Phil. My father lived to be 71 years old. And it has been a very, very big point of contention between myself and my mother because I loved my father very much. We were very, very heartbroken when we lost him.
And what did he die from?
Well, you know, the official medical report was that my father died from pneumonia. But we all know in our family what we feel killed my father, and that was my mother. And the, I don't know what you would call it, but the, I think the man was starving for good lovemaking.
So do you agree, in other words, you think your father died from this?
Well,
you think your what contributed to your father's death was a not a healthy sex life?
I don't know, because obviously when my father died...
if you don't mind me asking, when did he die?
My father died in 1998.
Okay, and I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. But I don't know. I think that having read this study now, I can put two and two together. I knew that my father looked frustrated, and I was continually suspicious that my mother was... There was something I don't think she was doing. She spent an awful lot of time with a member of their household staff who was driving driving them to different things. He was their driver. They had a Lincoln Town Car.
Your parents had a boy. That's quite a bit of money, huh?
Yeah, my father was very successful. He was.
All right, so they had a driver. You suspect your mother was involved with this man?
I suspect. But if it's true, it explains an awful lot, because my father looked not so much unhappy. Steve, did you see my father?
He looked back, like, well...
Go ahead.
He looked backed up.
Steve said he looked backed up.
All right, well, let's not say that. I mean, let's say that he was frustrated.
Well, he was. I think he was.
Stay backed up, Mr.
Howard. That's all right, Steve. I'll do it. I don't know, Phil. All I know is I don't want to see men go through what my father went through. I don't want to see men go through what my mother put him through.
But you don't have any real... See, what I'm saying is, you don't have any...
Phil, could you hold on for a minute? Give me the towel.
Got a towel over there?
Yeah, the one over there.
Over there?
Hold on for just a minute. I'm so sorry, Phil. The one that I'm pointing to, Steve.
That one?
Yes, that one.
But I didn't know if you meant that one.
Could you read? I'm so sorry, Phil.
The question I had was, does your father... Well, I don't really have a question. I guess my statement is that your dad looked unhappy.
Yes, he looked unhappy. He looked unhappy in the sense that he was very happy always to see us. He was very happy always to see the boys who were very, very young when he died, but he had such great joy in his grandchildren. But he would shift in his seat uncomfortably. He never looked like he was sitting comfortably. He walked in a very, I think the word is he walked in a very stiff-legged way. And so after a while, my sister and I both...
So you talked this over with your sister?
Oh, I did. I talked it over with Janine. I said, I really think that Mom has to come to the plate here. Because my dad would walk in a manner that I think, you know, any man would. So what I'm saying is this. I don't want to see other men suffer this way.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Bobby Dooley about a study, Healthy Sex Life Makes Men Live Longer. And Bobby, in at least one case, is talking about her father, who she suspect was not attended to or did not have a happy, intimate life with your mother, Bobby, right?
That is our suspicion, yeah.
And as a result of that, died at a at what I think we can all say these days seems to be like a much younger age than we might have thought a few years ago. He died at the age of 71. You see so many men living into their 80s now. Question for you would be, you say that you don't want to see this happen to other men. How or what can we do? This is very private stuff.
You know, it really is private stuff, Bill. But there are those of us who I think can help. And I've got to be very delicate about how I put this. If you're a woman who is attractive. And you can see the obvious discomfort that is around you. There is a real moral dilemma that we've got. What do I do? What do I do when I see a man who obviously has a very unhappy, intimate life? And I can make myself available to him.
No, you're not saying that you're going to have sex with a guy.
I don't know, Phil. I think it's a real question that women need to answer. Because we have a generation of men that are going to die much younger than they should.
And you're not saying that you're going to have a generation of women your age, Bobby. How old are you?
I'm 38.
38 years of age, having sex with these men who are not your husbands.
But again, Phil, you're putting it in sort of in a moral dynamic. What I'm trying to do is simply address it from the health standpoint. If having regular sex helps our men survive, and the women that they're married to are either unable to because of illness or because of some premature frigidity or whatever has happened to them, and you are an attractive woman, and you can, is it immoral?
But what are you talking about? Are you saying that if a man approaches you, even though you're a married woman, you have children, you've got a husband, he's unhappy, he's not getting sex at home, and we know that a healthy sex life makes a man live longer, you're saying any woman will do?
No, I would never say that, Phil. I think you have to do it with compassion. But if that man...
Well, let's just say that man was lucky enough to see you. Where would you be? I don't know.
I don't know where I'd be. I could be at a party. In a parking lot, I don't know, walking somewhere, and he sees me, I see him, I can tell right away that he looks, my husband used the words, you didn't like them, backed up.
No, I don't like them because I think it addresses just the physical, okay?
No, I understand that, but isn't it my moral obligation to help somehow alleviate that man? I don't know.
Well, I think by putting it out there that even if a woman is married, if she sees a man who is unhappy because his sex life isn't good, and you know that a healthy sex life helps a man live longer, and not having a healthy sex life may actually hasten that man's death, if you're saying that it is an obligation that women, no matter married or not, have to have sex with that man, I think you're stepping over a moral line.
I may be stepping over a moral line, but then again, I may be moving that moral line in the interest of health and life.
Yes, that's the point, Mr. Henry, about it.
Well, but Mr. Dooley, let me ask you, you're married to this woman. If your wife was going to have sex with another man because it would help him live longer...
Well, my wife, we're going to do it.
No, I would never do that. I wouldn't do that. This is something I'm just talking about hypothetically.
Do you think other women should do this?
Oh, absolutely, I think they should, because we are talking about life-giving.
Well, then why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't I? Because, Phil, I am not built that way. I don't give it up for any man.
Are you telling me that a woman who has sex with another man because it would help that man live longer, that woman is fine morally, but you won't do that because you aren't that loose?
I'm saying that I would not criticize any woman for having sex with a man to help him live longer. But I'm the president of a PTO. I'm the president of Western States Homeowners Association. I like to think I'm a little bit better than that. This is for women who can do these things, whose reputations are not going to suffer. That's all I'm saying.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So the question would be, if you're a woman listening to this right now, and you know that healthy sex helps a man live longer, and you know a man who's not getting healthy sex, and by giving him that healthy sex, you could help him live longer, are you the kind of woman, morally, who can do that? Ms. Dooley recommends it, but she says she's not the kind of woman that's going to engage in that because she's a cut above. So I'm a little bit confused. What are we asking of women? Why don't you go ahead and have sex with that guy? It'll help him live longer. But then again, you're the kind of woman that would? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Back in a moment with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Of course I'm not going to do that.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. What is that bumper music? Good Lord. 877-876-PHIL. Back here on the Phil Hendry Show, we have Bobby and Steve Dooley along with us. The article here, a healthy sex life makes men live longer. Now, this was out of Italy. Dr. Emmanuel Giannini, coordinator of the research, said, what was evident from the research was that men who had active sex lives and were faithful to their partners had fewer cardiovascular complaints, and lived longer. What about that faithful to the partners thing?
Well, that's something that, as a community, as a society, when we recognize that men who are not being taken care of by their wives sexually should be serviced by any woman that can help them, then we take away that guilt. And I think that's what Dr. Giannini was talking about.
So that any woman in the community can have sex with a man who they feel is not being given proper attention at home.
That is correct, yes.
All right, and it goes on to say, increased sexual activity produces more testosterone, which leads to less depression, and a better cardiovascular performance, which means an improved metabolism. Dr. Giannini said the research has been carried out by the University of Florence on 4,000 men, and the study revealed that those who were unfaithful had a poor cardiovascular performance because they were also coping with the increased stress of their infidelity. She added that the study had shown a poor quality sex life could also lead to depression. Your comments, Bobby.
Well, I think it tells the story right there, Phil, and this is why we are in a very, very serious situation. We need for our men, all American men, to survive. These men are dying. They're dying in record numbers because they are not being taken care of, because their wives let them just drift and twist in the breeze. And as a result of that, they are depressed. So who fills in the void? This idea that a man is much happier when he is having regular sex, this is not a new idea. But the time has come for us as women to quit talking about it and start doing something about it. And if that means that I have to take care of some woman's husband, who is...
Well, now you're getting into some areas that are going to get... You're going to get some people pissed at you.
I don't care, Phil. We're talking about the...
Wait a minute. The two of you said, Bobby, you would not have sex with another man because you are a cut above.
I'm saying, of course, I'm going to be there if it's needed. I'm saying to other women listening to me, you can see the unhappy men out there. You can see the women that are not taking care of their men. So if that means that you've got to do another woman's job for her, then I say, by God, you've got to do it. And I know it sounds shocking. There are so many sick and frail men. A lot of them do see me as a possible sex partner. I am very well put together. I don't think I'm the only one. I'm not a whore. I can do this if other women are not available, but I'd like to see other women step in. I don't need to shoulder the responsibility.
Well, you know what? Whether you're going to be shouldering the responsibility or other women are going to be jumping in with you here, Bobby, the fact that, of course, this study is talking about infidelity and a bunch of other bullcrap, that sort of puts to a lie what you're saying.
Excuse me?
Well, it says that men are not going to be happy if they don't have a regular sex life or if they're unfaithful.
I already explained that.
Yeah, I know. You explained about the society and if they accept it and all of this good stuff, okay? But the fact of the matter is, the guys are going to be unhappy if they're unfaithful to their wives.
No, they're not going to be unfaithful.
Mr. Ritter, you're not reading it right. They will be unfaithful if they accept it.
Well, society is not going to accept men having sex with other women. Okay? I mean, men having, society's not going to accept, and husbands aren't. Are you going to accept that?
I just told him, my wife,
I already told you, Phil, that I'm not going to be involved in that.
Okay. No, you said you would if you had to be.
I'll cross that bridge when I get to it.
Steve will cross that bridge when he gets to it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Bobby and Steve Dooley about the lack of sex among men and how she's going to pitch in. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Healthy sex life makes men live longer. According to a study out of Italy, the healthier a man's sex life, the healthier he is, the longer he lives. And that would seem to make sense. But men are definitely being affected by this because men are dying at a premature age. Men are not necessarily getting the kind of sex that they would enjoy or deserve, or however you want to put it. According to Dr. Emmanuelle Giannini, and we've been quoting her, Bobby, she said that a poor quality sex life leads to depression. All of the things that we could very well imagine. But your solution is a combination of sort of a throwback to a free love concept, sexual surrogate concept.
No, Phil. I think you really got this confused. I think what you envision a world where women are just sleeping with whatever man says he's unhappy. That's not the case at all. There are those of us who are already attractive to men. I'm not trying to talk about myself as some raving beauty. I'm just saying that obviously is the case. I did not create this world. I just live in it. So if we are women that men are noticing, whistling at, saying hello to, and so forth, then do we not have an obligation to ascertain whether that man is being provided for at home?
And well, how do you know that? I mean, a guy's going to tell you any story, okay? And I would ask Mr. Dooley, how would you know, sir?
Please don't talk to my husband. I'll talk to him.
My wife is talking about that.
I'll talk. I can ask my husband any question you want me to ask.
Well, I mean, I'm just, if he's there, because he's on the phone.
No, I'll ask him. What do you want me to ask him?
I want to know, how does he feel about you ascertaining whether men are...
Yeah, I got it. Hold on. What do you think, Steve, about... Do you want me to sleep with other men?
I don't know. I told you...
Okay. Yeah, he said yes. He said it would be fine with him.
And well, I didn't hear that.
Well, I'm telling you that's what he said. And what else?
Well, could you have him say, Mr. Dooley, did you say yes?
I'll speak to my husband, thank you. Did you say yes, Steve? Yes. He said yes.
I didn't hear him.
Well, I heard him, Mr. Henry, and I would thank you to quit badgering my family.
Well, Ms. Dooley, I don't know whether or not your husband agrees with your philosophy or not, or whether he's just nodding his head. That, I mean, what are you telling me that your husband's okay with you sleeping with any guy that looks like he's not going to live very long?
I'm saying my husband recognizes that there are women like me who are attractive, who other men are attracted to, who can obviously provide that intimate life that a man is not getting at home. I'm sorry that men are not being taken care of by their wives. I wish it wasn't the case. I wish these women would take care of their husbands so I don't have to do it. But the fact is, I do. And so I am turned out there into the world, along with a lot of other women, and we are basically saying, okay, whatever we have to do to save your husband or boyfriend, we'll do that. But I can tell you this much, Phil. It isn't something that I like.
Well, she don't want to do it.
Mr. Dooley, I want to know, do you...
I'll speak to my husband, Mr. Andrews.
I want to know whether he approves of this or not. And I have...
I told you he said yes.
I haven't heard him say yes. You tell me that he says yes. Mr. Dooley, do you approve of it?
He said yes.
Well, I don't believe that, and it sounds to me like you're not allowing the man to speak on the phone. So that means to me...
No, Mr. Henry, please don't put words in my mouth.
It sounds to me like you're not allowing the man to speak, and that to me means that he doesn't approve of that, that you're going to go out and have sex with these guys because you think it's going to help them or because it's just something that you want to do. Do you charge the money?
How dare you? If you're talking about a medical fee, we might, but no, I don't. And that is the most insulting question I have ever been asked.
But you are contemplating some kind of a medical fee. What's the difference between you and any sexual surrogate?
The difference is, Phil, that we don't cost money. The difference is we do it because we care about these men. The difference is we do it because we want to see Ben live longer and because there's no alternative. Either I have sex with a woman's husband or he dies. You can call it what you want.
Mr. Dooley, how much is your wife? Yeah, that's what I thought, okay?
Mr. Henry, help!
Did you hear that? All right, I want them called back, okay? Call them back right now. Call them back. 877-876-PHIL, the Phil Henry Show here. I have Bobby and Steve Dooley on the phone talking about the possibility that Ms. Dooley and others and friends of hers and whoever, women, are out there having sex with men that aren't their husbands because a healthy sex life makes a man live. Ms. Dooley, I'd like to talk to your husband.
My husband is in the bathroom right now.
Then why did I hear him just say, help me?
Because he had to go to the bathroom.
Because he had to go to the bathroom, he said, help me.
Yes. You are really, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble. You're telling me that you have the clearance of your husband, and this all sounds just copacetic, and it's very moral. And when I ask to talk to the guy, I don't get to hear him.
Steve, are you in the bathroom right now? There.
I've never heard of anyone going to the bathroom saying, help me.
You've never heard of anyone go bathroom? I didn't understand that.
Ms. Dooley, you know perfectly well what I said.
Well, what I'm saying is simply this, Phil. My husband is 100% supportive.
No, I heard a man say, Mr. Henry, help me.
Yes, and he was going to...
Why would a man who's going to the bathroom ask for help?
Because there's no toilet paper, and he didn't know if you were coming to the house.
He didn't know that we were on a radio show.
I don't know. Steve, did you know that we're on the air?
I don't know.
He thought you just called the house. And he said, Mr. Henry, help me, meaning, would you stop and get toilet paper on your way over here? As it turns out, we have some. All right?
Then why did the phone go dead?
The phone went dead. The cat stepped on something. Is that the cat? The cat stepped on the receiver. I don't know.
The cat stepped on what receiver?
Don't grill me like... Don't you dare question me.
I'm just asking, Ms. Dooley. I'm not... Do you have one of those phones that's still the hang-up kind?
The hang-up kind? Get a load of this, Steve. He wants to know if we have the kind of phone that hangs up. Yeah.
No, I mean the kind of phone that has the cradle. Everybody's phone hangs up.
Don't you dare yell at me like that.
Ms. Dooley, I'm asking, did the cat step on... What did the cat step on?
The cat stepped on the cradle.
Cats in the cradle.
What does that mean, cats in the cradle?
That's how we answer the phone sometimes. Cats in the cradle. Because our cat, a lot of times, will step on that.
Ms. Dooley, it sounds to me like you're making a whole bunch of stories up, that you're just, you're peddling here to try to...
I'm just trying to help you get to the quarter hour.
Well, I appreciate...
Cats in the cradle.
No, cats in the cradle. We're here...
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have our news hour coming up next after, a quick segment. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back. Cats in the Cradle.
Phil Henry.
Hello?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Better than you. Don't worry about what's the matter with me. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What?
Yeah, look, I'm all pissed off.
Maybe I am pissed off. There's a few things I want to get straight around here, okay? Number one, all right? When somebody hangs up, bud, and then they call back, you just don't put them back on the air. You find out why they hung up.
Well, she called back since you thought about something to say.
I don't care. She hung up on me, didn't she? I heard her husband saying, Mr. Hendry, help me.
Well, maybe they were going to say.
Yeah, but when I got her back on the air and she says her husband's in the bathroom, obviously she was calling up just to give me a load, okay?
Yeah, a load, bathroom, get it?
That ain't funny, man.
Got that right. When people call back, oh, I'm sorry I hung up. I'd like to get back on the air with Phil. You tell them to cool their jets. I'll get to them when I get to them. You understand?
Yeah. I thought I'd help out.
Yeah, huh? Well, it didn't.
I thought I helped out, considering all the phone calls you're not getting. And
shut up and get out of here. All right, anyway, welcome back to our program, 877-876-PHIL. PTC study claims almost 70% jump in bad language on broadcast TV. Foul language includes crap, damn, hell, boobs, and ass. All right. Now, this is the the Parent Television Council. It sounds like parent teacher, doesn't it, with PTC? It's actually the Parent Television Council. And it sounds very official, and it sounds all that kind of groovy. It sounds like something, as a parent, you might want to be a part of, because it has that officious, clean, living sound. But I have yet to really understand what this group is about, what they've actually been able to achieve, how much money they are taking in, how much they are spending to affect the cleaning up of the airwaves, how much goes to salary. We read some stuff about this PTC, and it don't smell too good, I can tell you that.
No, man, they had that one story you told me about where a lot of that money goes to the salary.
Well, I don't know if it went to salary, but it went to...
Yeah, it didn't go to salary, but it didn't go to clean up to clean it. Or anything.
Well, that was something. I forget what that was. It was a, they were trying to get something off the air. And a lot of the money that they spent to try to get this thing off the air, it didn't do a lick of good. And they wound up paying more in salary, I think, than they did in anything else. I don't know, man. Anyway, on Monday night's episode of 2.5 Men, there were references to cocaine, prostitution, and two women being intimate with each other. While viewers don't seem to be turning away from the show because of its increasingly racy content, it's giving fits to the Parent TV Council, the advocacy group that is getting more and more publicity because of stories from the LA Times and other stupid publications like that. If the LA Times stopped giving the Parent TV Council publicity, then nobody'd ever hear of it, and people wouldn't be going, gee, I really like this show, and who is this group of people, and who do they represent, and why are you writing about them? Oh, you mean nobody? The Parent TV Council, the advocacy group that thinks the broadcast networks are becoming a cesspool of swear words and bad language. Well, who are they, and why should we care? I keep asking this question. Who are they, and why should we care?
The Parent TV Council.
Yeah, and why should we care?
On account of they're cleaning it up.
Yeah, but what, dude? Who do they represent, man?
Parents and TV.
Parents and TV. How many parents do they represent? Do they have a constituency? You know that word that I'm always telling you guys about? Constituency. What does that mean, Robert?
Well, constituency are the people that support some.
Well, yeah, okay. They're the people who are a part of an issue or they're part of a group that supports a candidate, an issue, and so forth, or are opposed to a candidate or issue, a constituency. Most disturbing to the PTC...
So why'd you ask us that?
Just let me finish this. I don't know why I asked you that. Most disturbing to the PTC is that the time period showing the biggest gain is not the 10 p.m. hour when more adults are watching, but the 8 to 9 p.m. hours, which attract younger viewers. So, according to Habitat for Profanity, broadcast TV's sharp increase in foul language. Oh, that's funny. So that was a study released by the PTC. There has been an almost 70% jump in bad words on broadcast TV in the past 5 years. And we're supposed to believe this? They claim to have 1.3 million members. They sent mailers out to one. That's the 1.3 million people hit an automatic reply on an email they got asking for more information. That's why they think they got 1.3 million members.
You know, if you people represent something Christian, you know that lying will send you to hell, at least according to the Catholic faith.
Yeah, but they ain't Catholic. They're just regular Christian.
Well, you can lie and get away with it?
I think so, yeah.
Well, here are the words that have the biggest increase. Crap, damn, hell, ass, bitch, bastard, boobs, other breasts. Now, here's a word here that I don't think we can say, and yet they say it on television. One of the reasons why they say it on television is because they think we can say it on radio, and we can't. See, television doesn't make a move unless they hear radio make the move first. And then they make the move, and we ain't made the move, man. You did. So you guys are saying this word that start. I don't even know that I can say balls unless I say, like George Carlin, you know, four balls and no strikes.
Yeah.
Other genitals. Then the bleeped out F word, then a euphemism for the F word, then a bleeped out S word, a euphemism for the S word, douche, P-I-S-S, screw and suck. Well, I don't know why I spelled that.
Now, that shows you're afraid to say that word, man, because you know you've got, like, what do they call that, a fine from the SEC?
Well, the New York Times writes that they claim to have 1.3 million members, the parent television council, but that number counts people who have signed a petition or donated since the group's founding, according to the council. In reality, 12,000 people at most respond to annual fundraising appeals. All right. You know, the group is, that's the last story I read from the parent television council. They don't exist. No one cares. I've never in my life seen, except here in recent memory, the ability of anyone to manipulate media into people thinking it's a big story. The parent television council has gotten far too much publicity based upon the people that belong to their group, the people that pay attention to their garbage, the people that care about whether they live or die, the people that even their relatives don't care whether they live or die. The parent television council is a non-existent. I'll bet you money they're taking the dollars that they do get donated to them, and they're blowing it in every direction. I'll bet you they're taking junkets to Vegas. I bet you people, the PTC, man, you haven't seen a resort hotel yet that you don't like with that money.
Well, man, they could sue you for that.
I don't care if they do. Go ahead, sue me, man. I'd like to take a look at your books and find out what you're doing with this. What are you doing with all the donations you get? What are you doing with it? What the hell do you do, man? Do you, what, a letter writing campaign? Is that what you do? Let me give you a piece of advice. For the Parent Television Council, here's a piece of advice. Number one, you ain't going to take anything off the air that's making money. You are not going to take anything off the air that's making money unless you can get a law passed, unless you can get the Congress of the United States to somehow intercede on your behalf and pass a law. But the Congress of the United States will not intercede on anybody's behalf unless something is so egregious, so unbelievably profane. I mean, the one incident that I can think of over the last 10 years was the Janet Jackson Super Bowl boob shot. And it was so funny the way people reacted to that, because on the one hand, oh, it's just a woman's breast. On the other hand, well, there are children watching, and so perhaps they might have been a little more careful. And these people that consider themselves really good parents, well, yeah, but then again, it's just a boob, and who cares? And then I made the point, yeah, but it's Janet Jackson's, which makes it pretty ugly. And
are you kidding me, man? You think Janet Jackson ugly?
I think she's frightening, yeah.
Are you kidding? She's hot.
Not anymore, she ain't. She used to be.
Janet Jackson, man, she's the best in the West.
No way, no way, no way, man. Not Janet Jackson, no, sorry. All right, so that was the most, I guess that was the most raucous of events when that happened, okay? Beyond that, no one is going to do anything to help the PTC do anything. So you think you're going to do a letter-writing campaign? Now, I can tell you this much. I've been around shows where there have been sponsor boycotts, and it doesn't make any difference because this is what a sponsor does. The sponsor goes away for a while, and then they come back. The sponsor goes away while the heat is on, and then they come back. And what a good network does, or a good broadcaster, if there's a sponsor boycott of a show because the PTC got a letter writing campaign going, what happens is this. The sponsor will go away, and the people that sell the show go out and find other sponsors to take their place. Maybe they're selling the time for less money. Maybe they take a little bit of a hit financially, but they ain't going to kick the show off the air because they understand what's driving this. a temporary bit of exasperation and publicity. So in about 3 months, that wears off, and guess what? Here comes the old sponsor. And if you think I'm kidding, you ever heard of Don Imus?
Oh! That is a good point.
Good point? They brought that guy back from the dead, man. The dead!
Yeah, but that's only on account of Fox, man. If there hadn't been no Fox, they never would have done that.
If there hadn't been no Fox, well, okay. If there hadn't been no TV, man, he wouldn't have been. What are you talking about, there hadn't been no Fox? If there hadn't been television, if there hadn't been competition among networks, if there hadn't been a Fox, maybe he wouldn't have said what he said. Maybe there wouldn't have been that kind of influence extant on the airwaves of America, and Don Imus might have, he might have sidestepped that. I don't know.
What are you saying? Saying Fox made him say all about Negroes and stuff?
What do you mean, Negro, man?
He's talking about the nappy-headed thing. No, I'm just saying that the discourse on cable news and on cable television might not have been quite that wild had there been no Fox, and Imus might not have said what he said. That's all I'm saying. Don Imus, who's the, oh, Dr. Laura, too. She had to come back from some pretty serious hits, and come back they did. We'll be back next hour with our News Hour Phil Henry Show.
What are you talking about?
Phil Henry.